Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Thanks for tuning in. Glad you're here, and a happy Thursday to you. Hope you've had a great week. Well, I am looking forward to today's show. If you've ever wrestled with how to apply your faith in everyday life, and if you want to know what it means to walk in the fullness of the Spirit, you'll want to listen to today's question. So I've got a couple questions for you to think about. I ask you questions every day, just things to ponder as the conversation unfolds. And this one, I might want you to call in and tell me what you're thinking, because if you need prayer, if we can stand with you in any way, we'd sure love to do that. So here's my question for you. How is God asking you to engage your faith in this current battle that you're in? Maybe you're in a battle, a struggle, trial. Maybe you're in a season of favor, but you still need to engage your faith. How is he inviting you to engage your faith? And what promise are you holding on to right now? What promise are you holding on to right now? Well, I'm just excited to welcome back to the show Wendy Blight. We had her on a while back. I think we had her on a couple of times to talk about her first book. Well, she's got a new one out titled Living So That, Making Faith-Filled Choices in the Midst of a Messy Life. And I just messed up her title royally, so I'm going to say it again, Living So That. And then the subtitle is Making Faith-Filled Choices in the Midst of a Messy Life. And I'm so excited to talk with her today. So really hoping you'll find your faith challenged and encouraged as our conversation unfolds. Well, Wendy Blight's an author, attorney, and national speaker with Proverbs 31 Ministries, whose desire is to help every woman know with confidence that she can tackle any problem life presents through God's Word. Wendy's written two books, Hidden Joy in the Dark Corner, and her newest book, which I just told you, Living So That. And she lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, with her husband and two children, Laura, who's 20, and Beau, who's 16. And she's got an author page on our website. All of her resources are there. Our website is myfaithradio.com. Wendy, welcome back to the program. Glad to have you with us today.
Oh, Susie, I am thrilled to be back. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And congratulations on a new book.
Oh, thank you. It's fun. It's fun to be just engaged all over again with women through another book.
Indeed. Well, you know the drill. You've been on the show before. We love to start out talking scripture, wondering if there's either a life verse you can share or a verse maybe that's just been coming to life to you these days.
Well, I think that the life verse that has, I think, stuck with me through everything is Romans 8:28. I just think everything always goes back to that one place where God has met you with a truth that has transformed your life. And although there are many others, just a promise that no matter what has happened in my past or what I'm going through now, God promises to work all things together for his good, for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose.
Great passage. Well, Living So That, that's an interesting angle. Talk about how this book was inspired in your heart.
Well, it's interesting because it really came from one of those things when you go to church. We had a capital campaign, which we don't have very often at our church here in Charlotte, but they were raising money to open new extensions in Charlotte to broaden the church. And the name of the capital campaign was, do you live a so what or a so that life? Are you there, Susie?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. For some reason, I heard a little click. Do you live a so what or a so that life? And long after the campaign was over, those two words, so that, stuck with me. And even though the pastor never talked about so that verses in Scripture, I kept thinking, what does that mean to live a so that life? And one evening, I came up to bed early, I opened my Bible, and I said, I'm just going to see what the Bible says about so that. And as I began with the Gospel of John, I stayed up 4 hours going through it, just following each book of the Bible as long as I could till I fell asleep, looking up so that verses. And I found so many that it led me to the next day when I was more awake doing a little study, looking up the Greek meaning. Is there such a thing, a Greek meaning of these two words, so that? And I found that they're called a hyna clause in Greek. And their purpose is to tie a truth of Scripture, to connect a truth of Scripture to a practical application of that truth. And really, the gospel writers and Paul, they all chose to use these words intentionally to make God's word relevant and applicable to everyday life. And I got so excited because as a Bible teacher, as you know, that is our passion, to bring God's word alive and help women do the same in their own life. And so this was just the perfect book for me to write with how my heart is made by God.
Hmm. And there's five so that's. We're going to kind of try to unpack these as the show unfolds today. Jesus came so that. God spoke so that. Pray so that. Trials come so that, and let your light shine so that. So let's look at our first so that. Jesus came so that, and it's based on the passage John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Talk to us about that passage.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is it's a verse we all know. It's a verse I grew up watching Dallas Cowboy football and seeing people, you know, put on big poster boards in the stands. But when you really think about the promise that makes, that God loved this whole fallen world, every single person in the world, from time began until Jesus comes back, and he loved us all so much that he gave the life of his Son. And so what this chapter really does is it breaks that down. And I think in some ways it was the hardest so that to start with, because there's a lot of rich sort of cerebral material in this first chapter from Romans, which can be a really hard book, and some challenging concepts. But my girls, as we walked through it here in Charlotte when I taught it, it was just a really powerful time for everyone to really think about what it means to be a saved child of God and really think about the amazing love that God has for us, that he gave his only Son, and that Jesus gave his life so that we can then be equipped and empowered with his love and his Holy Spirit to go out and live a quote-unquote so that life. So it's sort of the first stage of what we have to live a so that life. We've got to be a saved child of God before we can ever go and live for the kingdom.
Yeah, really, it's not just a mental ascent. It's total new transformation. The old has passed away. We're made a new creation. And I think we forget about that miraculous transaction that happens when we become saved, because so often we still default to old ways of thinking, even old ways of assessing our own lives, our frailties, and our circumstances. And so to keep our mind renewed, to remember we're new creations, and it matters if we think that way, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And it helps so much because, Susie, as we've talked about with my other books, so many times what's happened in the past, whether it's been done to us or some choices we've made, we allow those things to define us, and they can sometimes hold us in prisons and in dark places. And when we realize that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He takes all of that away, and we become a new creation. We are a new creation. As you said, the old is gone and the new has come. And any remnant of that old that remains is just enough of what we need to be able to take that test and make it our testimony, to be able to go forward and use that to encourage others, comfort others, equip others.
When you referenced the Voice translation, I'd never heard of it. I cannot even believe that I've never heard of it. And I just had so much fun prepping for today's show, looking at different verses in the Voice translation. And so this one that you referenced, Romans 5:20-21, it absolutely, Wendy, it took my breath away. And I'm just going to read it. This is Romans 5:20-21 from the Voice translation. I think it's kind of like the Message translation along that line. Isn't it a little bit kind of a paraphrase? Is that what that is? Or
Well, yeah, it's important for me to say this. It's Thomas Nelson put this Bible out, and it is not a paraphrase.
Oh, good
to
know.
It's an actual translation. You can look in the front. It has many, many scholars and theologians that help put it together. So it is an actual translation, but you are right. It is the most beautifully written Bible that you will ever open, and it really does make scriptures that you've known for a long time come alive in a fresh way to read them from the voice.
Well, I appreciate that. In fact, I'm going to go on Amazon or go to my local bookstore and get a copy because I just couldn't believe it. So here's Romans 5, verses 20 to 21. When the law came into the picture, sin grew and grew. But wherever sin grew and spread, God's grace was there in fuller, greater measure. No matter how much sin crept in, there was always more grace. In the same way that sin reigned in the sphere of death, now grace reigns through God's restorative justice, eclipsing death and leading to eternal life through the Anointed One, Jesus our Lord, the liberating King. I mean, that makes me want to stand up and put my arms in the air.
I know.
But to talk about the reality of what that passage means to us as redeemed creatures.
Well, I think what's so important, what I really want to pull out as we walk through this lesson is so many people think of the law as such a bad thing and a confining thing. And really, the whole point of the law is it helps make us aware of our sin. And in becoming aware of our sin, then we're able to see it and deal with it. And the worst thing is to be just held captive in a place of sin and not know what to do with it or where to go or feel ashamed. And what this is saying is recognize your sin. The law helps point out that sin, but we have this Jesus who has died on the cross, who has risen again, and his grace, no matter what sin we've committed, no matter what sin's been committed against us that makes us feel dirty and unworthy and not whole, God's grace is bigger than that, and there's the law is a good thing. And I think until I wrote this study, I didn't look at the law that way. I had such a negative connotation of it, and it's not. God's law is good, and then there's the law of spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit that comes in and just enables us to take that new creation part of us and really become a new person.
Well, I'm talking to Wendy Blight today. Her new book is Living So That. It's a study, making faithful choices in the midst of a messy life. We've got three copies to give away. Maybe you've got a question for Wendy about living a faith-filled life. Otherwise, my question for you is, what promise are you holding on to right now? How is God asking you to engage your faith? We're going to listen to a Lincoln Brewster song, another hallelujah. Boy, nobody does it like Lincoln Brewster. And so as we play this song, I want to hear those calls come in. If you've got a question, first three on the air will get a copy of Wendy's book, Living So That. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Wendy in a moment. Listen to this Lincoln Brewster song.
I love you, Lord, with all my heart. You've given me a brand new start, and I just want to sing this song to you. Goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift. My heart and soul are praising hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You're the God above. You're filling me with grace and love. Now I just want to say thank you to you. You pulled me from the miry clay. You've given me
is Lincoln Brewster. Wendy, what do you think of that song?
Oh,
come on now.
Oh, yeah, I want to keep worshiping.
Me too. I'm telling you what. We just love to just insert songs once in a while that really tie into our content. We're just asking for calls. How can we stand with you right now? How is God inviting you to engage your faith? Got Wendy Blight on today. She's got a new book out titled Living So That, Making Faith-Filled Choices in the Midst of a Messy Life. First three on the air. You get a copy of Wendy's book, 877-933-2484. We've got Tammy calling in from Minnesota. Tammy, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, what's going on today?
I'm in the midst of a divorce, and it's been the most challenging time of my life, needless to say. I'm doing all that I can to exercise my faith in areas both financially and facing the future alone. In the natural, everything looks pretty bleak and scary, and I'm just trying to keep my eyes on the Lord.
Well, I want to pray with you, Tammy, but I want to give Wendy a chance just to speak with you. Wendy, you want to say anything to Tammy?
Well, Tammy, first of all, I just love that you called in because it just shows that you're seeking prayer, you are seeking resources, and that when the Lord says when you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. And I just want to encourage you. I have a blog. It's wendyblight.com. And I just have some resources on there that came to my mind. And if you just visit there under, it'll say freebies on the front, click on there. But there's some beautiful words there about just your identity in Christ and who you are. And there's a prayer to declare who you are in Christ. And I would love for you to visit that when you get a chance. And I just feel like sometimes when you're in the place you are and you feel lost and who am I and everything that your life was about has changed, we're about to talk about more of the book and God spoke so that, and part of the reason he spoke, Tammy, is to just so you would know who you are as a child of God and these truths and promises that are there, that you would just believe them with all your heart and pray them over yourself. And I know the Lord will use those during this time to just speak his love and his tenderness and just remind you, you're his child and no one and nothing can ever change that or take that away from you.
Yeah, Tammy, and I'm thinking as Wendy's talking of when we had Bo Stern on a while back, when she learned that her husband had ALS and that enemy was just threatening her, just as he threatens all of us around our fears about our future. And that enemy was saying, you're going to be alone. Your kids are going to lose their faith because of what I allow to happen to, what God allows to happen to your husband. And you're going to be a poor, miserable wretch. And she was sobbing on the carpet. And she said she kept hearing the words every minute, every minute, every minute. And she knew it was the Lord's voice. So she sat up and said, Lord, every minute. And he said, I have been to every minute you will ever face. And I've gone ahead and I've made provision there for you. You're not alone. And the same is true for you, Tammy. You are not alone. And God has gone ahead to every minute you'll face, and he's made provision. He is with you. He will not forsake you. And so I just challenge you not to let your thoughts go rogue around your fears, because God is your provider. And so, Wendy, would you just cover Tammy in prayer? Would you just pray a prayer blessing for her?
Heavenly Father, Abba Father, you are Tammy's Abba Father, and you are also Jehovah Jireh, her provider. And we just pray right now for her sweet spirit, Lord, and that you would just rest upon her fully and completely, and that your peace would reign and rule in her heart, Father. And we just pray that she would not have a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And we pray, Lord, that she would be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving, by prayer and supplication, make her request known to you, and that peace that passes all understanding will guard her heart and mind. And Father, I just pray for every need that she has, Father, that you would provide in the most unique and personal ways that she would know, that she would know that it is from you. And thank you that you have gone before her and you are her rear guard. And just pray you would just bless her mightily as she walks through this journey. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you.
Tammy, bless you. We're going to get you a copy of Wendy's book, and I'll send you a couple other things from our Faith Radio shelf as well, just to encourage you. But thank you, hon, for calling. Appreciate that so much.
Thank you.
God bless you, dear. If we can stand with you in any way, we would absolutely love to do that. And I would just really love to know, how is God inviting you? And consider it that, an invitation to engage your faith. 877-933-2484. 2484. After the break, Wendy, we will get into the God Spoke So That. But one of the quotes from your book, you're talking about the So That life versus the So What life. You say, our lives should not be self-centered and static. Rather, they should be other-centered and active, making a difference for the kingdom of God. We just have a few minutes before we take a break, but talk about why we lose traction and how we gain traction again.
One of the things that I think we forget about God's word so many times, for me, a long time, I just kept the Bible by my side. And I think that's absolutely how we lose traction. And when we get ourselves, we pick up that Bible that's been gathering dust, or maybe we pick it up only when we need some encouragement or we're really down. But when we begin to pick it up and open it up, that's when we begin to just hear the voice of God, and God begins to speak into certain situations where if we don't have the Bible up and we're sitting here praying to him about things, we're like, he's not there, he's not answering me, he's not listening to me. But sometimes the best way God speaks to you, the most clear way he speaks to you, is through his word. And so that to me is how you get your traction back. That is by being in his word, because it does say he spoke so that. And the scripture that opens the chapter is, we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work, but also so many other things that we can talk about after the break.
Indeed. And we say a word about what you learned when you talk about God's word, about praying his word and speaking his word. And I'm not saying it in a name it and claim it. I really am saying the authority that we have in Christ. And as we, there's something so powerful about praying in agreement with God. And so as we use his words to be our words, there is power in that unlike anything else. What do you say?
Well, one of the favorite things I learned as I was doing this study is that God's word is actually referred to as a seed. In one of the scriptures, it escapes me right now, but he compares his word to a seed. And we all know what happens when you plant a seed. It begins to grow. It grows roots, and then it grows a plant, and then sometimes it grows beautiful fruit. And so when we take God's word, that seed, and we pray it into a situation, or we pray it over a person, and Hebrews 4:12 tells us it's a living and active word, we can know without a doubt that God, who says his word is yes and amen, that when that seed gets planted in that situation or that person's heart, it's going to do a work, because he says, when my word goes out, it won't return void. So that's how I would say that when we do it, it's just part of that process. All his promises tell us that when we pray his word, it's going to do something, because it's living and active, and he tells us it won't return void and will accomplish what he desires and achieve the purposes for which he sent it.
Oh, I want you to get a picture of that. When you've taught the word to your kids and prayed the word over your kids, your marriage, your coworkers, your neighbors, yourself, picture it going from a seed to taking root to becoming this oak of righteousness where it's immovable. It's doing that. Isn't that amazing? Well, again, we'd love to stand with you. Give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. More with Wendy Blight in just a moment. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a great conversation with Wendy Blight. She's got a brand new book out titled Living So That, Making Faith-Filled Choices in the Midst of a Messy Life. And it really works as a study. She goes through five so that's. We've been through one already. Jesus came so that. God loved the world so much he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish and have everlasting life. So in the first part of the show, we were talking about just the miracle and the reality of Christ in us. And that really is first step to living a so that life. And Wendy, the next one, the second so that is God spoke so that, based on 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is God breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That is a packed passage. Talk about that passage and that so that.
Well, what I really what I really would love to share with you is a very quick story, because one of the reasons I wrote this book is to make it so that our the Word of God really becomes practical in our lives. And one of the keys, when Jesus would speak, he told the parable where he, you know, planted the seeds in different places, but in only one place did it actually take root. And he talks about having listening ears. And God spoke, and those of us who have listening ears hear it. And then it's that teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness that he talks about. But I wanted to say that when we're in the Word gets planted in us, as we just talked about, and we get to use it in such powerful and effective ways. And my daughter, what I wrote about in the book, she texted me once. She's at college, and she asked me for prayer. And she had a big economics exam. She was so nervous. So I just texted her back a really quick prayer. But a few minutes later, as I was sitting there, television on, it's not like I was on my knees praying. I was in the midst of watching Downton Abbey, I think. But the Lord prompted me to send a specific verse to her, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And so I sent it, and my prayer as I sent it was, Lord, please encourage her in this for her exam tomorrow and build her confidence. And the next morning, when I woke up, there was a text from my daughter, and it said, I opened my devotional today. It was, I think, her Jesus calling, and the truth was Proverbs 3, 5. She said, Mom, it's exactly the verse you gave me last night. Encouragement. And I just wanted women to see and listeners to see the process that happened was because I had God's word hidden in my heart. When my daughter needed a word of encouragement, the Lord brought it to mind. But in order to gird up her faith, he put that same verse in front of her that morning, the one he laid on my mind that he knew she would open up and see, so that she could see that God was active and involved in her life. And it was such a powerful moment for her as my daughter to just see, wow, God is real. But for me also to just be reminded, continue to hide my word in your heart, because that's the way I can use it to help you so that you can encourage other people and gird them up.
And that's such an important point. And I want to say this carefully, very, very carefully. This isn't about your salvation or God's love for you. He loves you. You're saved by grace. But I would say the more of God's word you have in you, the more useful you are to God. But just because the word is living and active, and he can bring things to mind and use you so powerfully. He uses all of us, from the simpleton to the theology scholar. But I'm just saying, when the word is in us, we know what his voice sounds like so clearly, and we're so much less apt to be led astray. And I think that is just a profound reminder for us to hide his word in our hearts so he can bring it to mind like that, you know?
Right. Exactly. I think the way I say it in the book is, the more we say yes to spending time with God in his word, the more we're going to learn how to recognize his voice. And the more we recognize his voice, the more we're going to expect to hear it and see him around us at work. And then when that happens, the more we're going to experience him. And the more we experience him, the more we're going to trust him. And so then if you watch him along the way work in all these small ways, just really precious little ways that he uses you to encourage someone else, or you pray about something and then he puts a verse in front to encourage you, when those big, hard, difficult times come for you or someone you love, you're going to trust him because he has shown you all along the way how faithful he has been in your life through his word or through whispers of his spirit. And this is one of my favorite chapters in the book, because to me, this is what builds the rest of your faith and the rest of the so that's is God spoke so that he could speak into our lives and then make us useful, as you said, for his kingdom.
And it anchors us to him because, you know, the stronger God's word is in us, where we know it, breathe it, pray it, believe it, when the winds of change blow, when circumstances speak a different message, we're more apt, the anchor does hold, you know, and it's when it's in us, it's just we're less prone to be whipped by the wind and tossed to and fro. Well, you referenced the passage about the four kinds of soils, and I'd love to dig into these a little bit. we read about this in, is it Matthew? I've just lost my verse there. Sorry about that. But the four soils, they're in the gospel. So the path.
Matthew 13. Yes. You're right.
All right. So the path is the one when someone hears the story, but they cannot understand it. Talk about that soil and just unpack that a little bit better for us.
Well, I think that there the different soils, some it says that well, what's really cool, I think, is thinking about taking this a little bit back. And so we have all these different soils. But if you think about it, Jesus was teaching this parable from a boat. And so if you think about Jesus looking out to where the people were, teaching from what he looked around him, so he would see people. Some people were walking around on this well-worn path that he's about to tell them. And some people were standing, or maybe he just looked behind that and saw these rocky crags that were jutting out of this barren soil. And then he goes and he looks at this field yielding rich crops. And so as he's looking out visually, seeing all of this, he's talking about all these different seeds. And in those days, the farmers planted their seed by hand. So they just scattered it. And it says that some fell along that well-worn dirt path where people continually walked. It was packed down hard. And so it was this impenetrable soil. It means that the seed just wouldn't take root. That's a hard heart. That's somebody who just isn't interested, someone who has a hard heart against the Word of God.
Kind of set in their ways, right?
Yes, set in their ways, and it's the hardest one to penetrate, actually. I'm sure there are many people out there, as I have family members, that you pray for about that. And some fell among the rock, and this is not like a pile of rocks. It's a place where there's this thin layer of soil covered by a rocky ledge. So there's just enough soil there that the seed takes root, but they can't go deep. And when our roots don't go deep, they don't get fed. And that's people who might open the Word, kind of read it, and then move along. You know, they just move along, and there's no depth. So that seed that you and I just talked about, it just never takes root, and it's like a weed. It just, you can just rip it right out. And that's what Satan, like, that's what he wants to do. He just wants to come, and he can blow discouragement at you or lies at you, and you just won't believe it. You won't believe God's word. It hasn't taken root. And then it says others fell among the thorns. It's good seed, but when it grows along next to thorns, the thorns grow up faster and stronger, and they choke out that good seed. And those are the worries of the world.
And the pleasures of the world.
And yes, the worries, the pleasures, anything that distracts us away from the Word of God. And so those are the three different soils. And then, of course, we have that rich, good soil. And that is when God's Word goes in, those listening ears hear it, the heart accepts it, and it takes root, and it goes deep. And those are the different ways that the seed is planted.
And the good soil produces 50, 10, 50, and 100 times what was planted. And so when you start to think about the reality of that, of it multiplying to the point where abundance comes out of your life, it's a marvel. And doesn't it just sort of motivate you to cultivate an atmosphere in your life where there's good soil, to uproot the weeds, to be teachable, to be tender, to be attentive even, because you think about the rocky ground, as soon as there's trouble, it's like the word goes in, but there's trouble. Then they look the wrong way, right? And the thorns are the worries, again, looking to the worries or looking to the pleasures. So we like all of our worldly stuff more than we really treasure the impact of God's word. But when we see it for what it is and we cultivate a life of growth, it produces 50 and 100 times what was planted. I mean, we can't spend enough time on that reality. It's amazing, isn't it?
Right, it is. And to think that all four different hearts heard the word.
Yeah.
All of them heard the same thing, but only one received it and produced a harvest.
Well, so we're talking about the second so that God spoke, so that we could grow and mature and so that lives could change. And Scripture talks about that the word is also our weapon of warfare. And I would love for you to explain how the word of God is our sword in spiritual battle and why we need it.
Well, as in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about how we live in a spiritual battle all around us. That's just how it is. And it sounds sort of science fiction-y, but it's very true. There are so many times when Jesus speaks about Satan and talks about him being our enemy and how he's the ruler of this world. And although, of course, our Almighty God is all authority on heaven and earth, and anything Satan does while ruling right now over this earth, it is always under the control of God. But he has free reign right now, and God gives us in Ephesians 6 what he calls the armor of God, and the pieces of armor, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, sword of the Spirit, shield of faith, shoes of the gospel of peace. We're talking right now about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, our only offensive weapon. All those other ones you put on yourself and you defend yourself, but that sword of the Spirit is that word of God, once again wielded as a weapon. And the more we know it, the better able we are able to wield it. Just like my daughter and I went and took lessons, shooting lessons. We went to a range and shot a gun. And it really brought this alive to me because, oh my gosh, I could barely handle the gun I was shooting. But the more you go and take the lessons, the better able you are to wield it, to shoot it, and to hit the target on point. And that's exactly why we want to be able to be well-versed in the Word of God and to be able to hide that Word in our hearts. So when the evil one comes at us with lies, and it says in Scripture, I think it's in 1 Peter, that he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to basically to kill, steal, and destroy all that is God's and all that is good. When we have this weapon, all the armor, but especially the Word of God, when those lies come in, we can take those thoughts captive, and we can replace it with the truth. And think that's in 1 Corinthians, maybe chapter 10. It says, you know, that we are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And then when you take it captive, you've got to have something to replace it with, and you want to replace it with the truth.
Mm, that's really good. And, you know, it's good, and it's important to read large portions of Scripture at a time. But I will tell you, the getting a close-up look at a verse or two and delving deep into what it means and memorizing and owning it, to me, it is like picking up a sword, making it your own, learning how to wield it, how to use it, in what scenario. And I just think that's when the word becomes your own, and it's so important to get that close-up look. Well, before we move on to the next so that, just want to ask you a word about this. You know, we get so often wrapped up in our striving, even as Christians, that we forget about the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And I sometimes wonder if he wonders when we'll call on him and invite him to empower us the way that only he can. So talk about the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because we do so much on our own strength and we don't have to.
Right. Oh, this is, gosh, we could talk about this for like 3 phone conversations, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I love to look at this is that we get a Holy Spirit transfusion when we become a Christian. You picture sort of the vine and the branches when Jesus talks about, I am the vine and you are the branches. And the disciples, apparently Jesus gave this teaching to the disciples as they were walking next to a vineyard, so they could visually see this thick vine and the branches and the beautiful grapes growing off those branches. And what happens is, he's analogizing, saying that if he is the vine and we are the branches, all those vines out there had nutrients flowing into the branches that fed it and gave it everything each branch needed to grow this beautiful, luscious, you know, fruit, these grapes, to make delicious wine. And that's how it is with us, that Jesus is this vine, and when we say yes to Jesus, then he comes to live inside of us through the Holy Spirit, and we get this transfusion. All of what makes Jesus, all the fruit of who he is, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all those things that we all lack, me especially, we get an infusion of all of that fruit from his Spirit. And it's the abiding in him, it's the spending time with him and spending time in his word and spending time in prayer that we keep on filling and filling and filling ourselves with more and more. It's like infusing ourselves with a fresh filling of Spirit every time we sit down to be with him. And that's what equips, empowers, and enables us to live this so that life.
Oh, great, great answer. Okay, let's talk about the third theme of your book, Pray So That, and it's based on Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Talk about that one, Wendy.
Well, here's, I think, one of my favorite truths that comes out of this book is, if you remember, there was the father who said to Jesus, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. And I think I love this picture of Jesus because so many of us come before him in prayer. I think almost everybody prays, but we don't always come so confidently before him in prayer. And first of all, of course, our lead, so that verse tells us that, that we can come confidently. But I love this picture of this man just being straight up honest with Jesus and saying, I believe, but please, please help me with my unbelief. Help me to believe. And I think positionally, this is where Jesus wants us to be when we pray. He wants us to pray in faith, believing he is able because he is able. But seeds of doubt are going to come, and we just have to have this mindset, this belief that we learn when from chapter 1 that says Jesus came so that reminds us of who we are and whose we are. And then we have this word of God hidden in our hearts. So when the evil one tries to plant his seeds of doubt, we will cry out for Jesus to remind us of who we are, and we have those truths in our brain. Because what makes our faith valid is not its subjective strength. It's not how strong it is, but it's the trustworthiness of the object. And the object of our faith is Jesus. And so it's okay to have unbelief when you pray. I mean, this father had unbelief. As long as you don't stay in that place of unbelief and say, but Jesus, I know this truth and this truth and this promise, and I'm standing on those. So please just help me right now with my unbelief. That I think is one of my favorite lessons that comes out of praying. When we pray, is that it's okay to sometimes have a weak place when you pray, but just have a place to go take that weakness.
So good. We're talking about the five so that's that Wendy Blight wrote her book on, Living So That, Making Faith-Filled Choices in the Midst of a Messy Life. We've probably got about 5 minutes or so left for you to call in if you've got a question for Wendy today, or if you want to tell us how God is inviting you to engage your faith. Got a couple copies left, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. So we talked about Jesus came so that, God spoke so that, pray so that, and the next one is trials come so that. So talk about that one.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I think the Romans 8:28 is probably one of my favorite verses that speaks to trials. Trials are very hard to go through, very hard to understand. But our lead verse in this, our memory verse, is, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. And just trusting the Lord that when he allows and sometimes causes us to go walk through trials, that there's all these scriptures, and that's what this chapter is chock full of scriptures that speak to why God allows them, how he equips us through them, and what's promised on the other side. And I talk about how our trials are like, if you look into, when you look at the undersides of a rug that's been woven, how they're not very beautiful, the patterns are obscure, there's loose ends of yarn dangling, but when you see the other side, it's an absolute masterpiece. That's what he does with us. Sometimes our life looks so chaotic and so unsettled and feels like a huge tangled mess, but on the other side of it, the side that, as you were praying with Tammy and talking to Tammy about, that he sees it, he goes before it, he sees the beautiful masterpiece that he is intricately and intentionally weaving together that one day will be a beautiful, beautiful testimony. And if we can walk through our trials being armed with these truths, knowing that it's not, you know, something unusual, that this is what God says we will walk through on this earth, because we live in a fallen world, we're going to walk through trials, that God will use it to create a beautiful masterpiece.
Well, Wendy, you're no stranger to trials and hardship. In fact, the first two times we had you on to talk about your first book, you talked about something that happened after graduating from college. And I hope it's okay to ask, just to give, just because I want people to know, this is not even, and you can tell by hearing from you that this is not just in your head, as far as this is great stuff you've read and thought you should translate. It's something you've actually lived in a very deep way. And so you mean it when you say he can take the devastation and turn it around and turn it into a masterpiece. Would you just share, if you don't mind, a portion of that's part of your story.
Sure. Yeah, I was home alone in my apartment right after I graduated from college. And, well, I was actually walking into it, and there was an armed masked man waiting inside at the top of my stairs. And he spent that afternoon sexually assaulting me. And I will tell you, for over a decade, I lived in basically what I call a prison of fear, and I was so angry with God. It was hard for me to understand how a loving God that I grew up learning about could sit on his throne in heaven and watch what happened to me. And I tried counseling, and there is a place for counseling. Please do not hear me say that. But for me, God clearly had a path for me, and so I went to counseling, and it didn't help me very much. But what did help me was just getting my nose in the scripture and learning all these promises and all these truths that I've been talking about. And it's through those that God healed my heart and just gave me a passion for his word and a story and a testimony. And that's what I love to do now. That is my favorite thing to do. And I think I said this in my other interview, but when I went on stage once, someone said, "Would you live through what you lived through that day in June of 1986 all over again?" And I said, "I absolutely would live through that one day again to have the incredible faith and ministry and testimony that I have now. It has made me the Bible teacher, the wife, and the mother I am today." Yeah. But it's all because of the Word of God and the work that it's done in my life.
And, you know, that is just such an important point, that the hardships that we just absolutely hate, that just tear us up sometimes, they do drive us to a deeper desperation. And you went right to Scripture, and God really did send your roots down, and you've got this fierce passion for God and a fierce passion for women. And so here again is an example of how God took what the enemy meant for evil and turned it for good. And if you're interested in Wendy's story, she writes about it in her first book, Hidden Joy in a Dark Corner. And here's the voice translation of James 1, verses 2 through 4. "Don't run from tests and hardships, brothers and sisters. As difficult as they are, you will ultimately find joy in them. If you embrace them, your faith will blossom under pressure and teach you true patience as you endure. And true patience brought on by endurance will equip you to complete the long journey and cross the finish line, mature, complete, and wanting nothing." And you look again at just the grit in your faith, because if you had to find it, you had to send your roots down. We hate those trials, but you're a better warrior, aren't you, because of it?
Absolutely, absolutely. But it isn't easy, and it wasn't an easy journey. And I do not want people to hear, you know. And I didn't go to the Bible right away. I tried lots of other things, it wasn't a complete. I would go through periods where I would feel better, but it wasn't a complete from the inside out healing. And that is because only God can take something so ugly and so devastating and so dirty that's happened and make it a beautiful thing. Only God can do that. And I also want to say, and the Lord just put this on my mind to say, but there is a place, if there is anybody who's been through any kind of sexual abuse of any kind, there is a place in you that no person who ever abuses you that way, that there's a place that they never touch. And that's that holy, holy place that the Lord has made inside each one of us. And it is made by him, and it's to be filled by him, and nothing has ever touched that place. And so begin to fill that place with the Word of God and with his sweet Holy Spirit. Just get on your knees and kneel right now and just pray. Just pray for the Lord to just come inside and speak to you and minister to you and begin a healing journey. And I know Susie would love to hear from you. I feel like right now there is someone listening. And just call Susie anytime at the station, and just, she has a beautiful heart, and I know that she would minister to you.
Mm. Well, that's a really important transition. Our time is up, and your last "so that" is "let your light shine so that," and you'll have to come back so we can talk more about it. But I think you are hearing from the Lord right now, Wendy, so I'm wondering, would you pray for that person right now?
Yes, Father. There is just someone out there, Father, who is crying tears right now, and I just feel her in my spirit. And so, Father, I just pray that you would minister to her right now. Would you rush your ministering angels to be around her, to just brush by her side. And Lord, if she has a Bible there, I just pray that as she opens it, you would bring a word to her, a word of encouragement, a word of love, a word that she would know, that she would know, that she would know it's from you, because you know the cry of her heart. And I just thank you that you are a faithful God, and you are a loving God, and you are a healing God. And I just pray right now for that sweet, sweet, sweet woman, that you would just come and kneel beside her and heal her hurting heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Wendy, bless you for your time today. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's always a blessing to have you. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show up on our mobile-friendly website at myfaithradio.com. Lots of articles there, podcasts there. Share them with a friend if they bless you. Well, you hear this from me every day. You're going to hear it again. Guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a blessed day. And do email me if we can stand with you in any way. My email is susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll meet you back here next time.